Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Cation, your host. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com if you love a determiner, and FamilyPetAncestry.com if you love a joke, because it points you to JackieCation.com. The credits, Mike Rickberg, he's composed and sang the song that you heard right there. He's going to sing his words to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio, and Vilmos works on my website, JackieCation.com. There's also a Bandcamp page that has premium episodes, which are live episodes that cost me a little bit of money, so I charge you guys a little bit of money if you want them. But that's at thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. And JackieCation.com has mostly everything. DorkForest.com has the player and the bonus and that type of thing. JackieCation.com has the rest of it. It has a player, but you can also go to iTunes, obviously, and subscribe and review if you want to. But if you need merch, if you would like a Dork Forest t-shirt or a Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirt, where dorky things are coming out of the forest, all union-made here in America. And so they run big. Know that in your heart. And they all include shipping. There's also CDs of my stand-up comedy, if you want to see my stand-up comedy in CD or DVD form. They're all available online on Amazon and iTunes and whatnot. The DVD is downloadable. There's a link on the front page of the trailer. Takes you back to Comedy Film Nerds, where you can buy the DVD streaming. But if you want hard copies, you get them at JackieCation.com. My comedy schedule is on JackieCation.com, telling you where I'm doing stand-up comedy. And this week, I'm in Los Angeles, blessedly. And then on the weekend, I'm over in Ventura, California, which is just about a little over an hour and a half from here, doing shows all weekend at the Ventura Comedy Club with Felicia Michaels. And that'll be fun. You can, if you want to support the show, donate if you have money. I would love some of that. That'd be great. It's a real sign that you are enjoying the show. And thank you so much if you are donating. People are, so I genuinely appreciate that. You can also use the Amazon banner, which is on the front page of the Jackie Cation page, which is white, and you just click through to Amazon. You order like normal, doesn't cost you extra, but Dork Forest gets a bit of a kickback. Let us get into the show. It's a good one. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room in Van Nuys, very glamorous, with private investigator Sarah Erling. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, indeed.
Well played, me. Sarah Erling, it's at Sarah with an H, underscore the, underscore PI, as in private investigator. And you work for Gailey Associates down Long Beach?
They're in Orange County.
Orange County. Mm-hmm. So if people need a PI, by God, go find one. And Gailey Associates is the place to start. Like, it's an ad. Anyway.
Thank you.
Sure. So you listened to the show and you wanted to be on the show because you're a private investigator.
Yes, and I am really into being a private investigator, as most private investigators are.
Really? Do you think most, I mean, it's not just a job. Did you fall into it, or how do you get to be a private?
I did. I thought about going to law school, and then I met a lot of very unhappy lawyers.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Who sort of said, it's not maybe something, if you want to do something else, try that.
Right. It's not TV.
And so private investigation is definitely legal adjacent, and I still work with attorneys, and I work on cases, and I'm still involved in the legal system.
And there's sneakery.
There's a lot of being sneaky.
Excellent.
There's a lot of asking questions.
A lot of question asking. A lot of, well, what are you doing now? And then, did anyone ever say to you, do you have a nose problem? What are you, the police? And,
sometimes people say that. Like, who do you think you are?
And, oh, there you go. And you're like, well, I have a card. I know exactly. And that's hilarious. It's so, you wanted to go to law school and you ended up just, how do you become a private investigator?
Well, they were advertising on Craigslist at a time I was looking for a job.
Sweet! Welcome to 20. How long have you been doing it?
8 years.
Okay. So, not that long, but 2008, well, Craigslist, people, and yeah, awesome.
I did want to do, when I was young, I thought about, I of course wanted to be a private investigator, but I a thought and assume that you had to be a police officer first or work for some sort of FBI or CIA.
Right. Some sort of disgraced police officer is the way.
Something like that, that I had to have a drinking problem and I wasn't really trying to avoid it. And so after college, with law school, I decided not to go to law school. I sort of just did my 20s for a little while.
Sure. That'll happen.
And then they were advertising, and so it seemed perfect. They were looking for somebody with no experience, and you start essentially as a process server, as a glorified delivery person.
Oh, like a repo man, but like you're just like, you got to find the right person and hand it to them?
Exactly. Spend a lot of time looking at Facebook, looking at people's like friends of friends and like distant aunts and uncles to see if we can find pictures of people so that when we show up at their house, we
know which one.
Yeah, we know it's them.
Now, what is, there's always something in like the movies and stuff where there's a law about that people have to be served by hand or something like that, right?
That is not true in this state.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the only, the point of process is just to make somebody aware that there's a legal thing going on that they need to know about. So they need to know that they're being sued. They need to know that they've been subpoenaed to a trial.
Right.
And the court generally doesn't look too fondly on people who avoid or play games.
Yeah.
So there's not really, like, I need to touch them. The number of people who have thought that and tried to run away from me is in the dozens. Right. But usually
you can just mail it to them or leave it in their door.
Yeah, once I, you know, make contact with them and I confirm, like, oh, this is you. Like, oh, Jackie? And you say yes. I'm like, well, you've been served.
This is a piece of, and then you hand the paper to them or?
Yes, I hand them the paper. If they don't accept, I usually just drop it on the ground. Or leave it on their windshield or try to slip it in a window or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Service has been effective. And sometimes I'll have to write what's called a declaration, just a little statement explaining the hilarious process that I went through to get this person
served.
Well,
I was going to say, there has to be some sort of, there has to be like a some sort of documentation so that.
The people who
it's not
run.
Like nobody's filming everything.
So sometimes we have to.
Oh, yeah.
With covert cameras, we do film if somebody has been served before. And
a go phone and a baseball hat?
Exactly that. Sometimes we have somebody else in the car that's filming.
Okay. All right.
Those two-person jobs.
Right. How weird if this was why you wanted to do the door for us.
I have something to tell you, Jackie.
Right. So what are some of the wacky... I'll hear a story. What the heck?
One of the funny ones that they still tease me about work is the time that I chased an old man down his driveway.
Oh, wow.
We have been trying...
From his house or to his house?
To his house. We had gone to his different businesses, and he apparently was never there, out of town, out of the country, is what they usually say. And so we had been at his home, and we had seen different people coming and going in different cars. And so finally, one day, I sat out there for hours and hours, like all day into the evening, and I saw all the other cars that we knew had come home already, and I had seen the people go inside. And this is the only time I actually literally waited behind a bush, was because it was dark, and another car came and pulled into the driveway. So as soon as it pulled into the driveway, I jumped out of my car so that I could see him getting out of the car.
Right.
And so as soon as he opens the door, I'd spring up, and I said his name, Mark. And he turned around and looked and went, oh, and I said, you're served.
You are served.
And he ran into the house and like slammed the door. And I just walked up to the door and I knocked, and a woman came out, I believe his wife, and she said, you know, what are you doing here? What's happening? And I said, oh, I'm here to serve your husband. And she was like, I don't know. He doesn't live here. And I said, well, I just saw him run in the house. And she said, that was my brother.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And I said, oh, what? If your brother wants to come back here and show me his ID, I'll leave right now. And she said, we don't have to do that. You have to leave. And I said, no, you've been served.
you've been consciously served. Yeah. In other states, you do have to sort of touch them or hand them the thing, or?
I think maybe other states are all kinds of different
but not
in California.
Not in California. The whole state of California is just like, no, you just have to recognize the person and yell the words, you've been served.
Exactly.
And then leave paperwork around them.
Yeah. So then I wrote essentially my essay, that's the declaration of how I had like followed this
man. Of you and Mark.
Yeah. And how I had eventually, I had to found it was him because he and his wife, they were in a homeowners association.
Okay.
They had had a Christmas party, and they posted photos from the Christmas party and identified everybody with their pictures and their names.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
And so attached to the thing where I said that I served him, I know it was him, here is a picture of him with his wife, with his name.
There you go. Because of Facebook. So try not to renege on things, folks. Try not to be too crimey and Facebooky at the same time. And, wow. All right. Well...
Bye, Andy. Andy's leaving. So he has been working and now he's gone. So, what you said when you were little, you wanted to be one. So I suppose we could go back there. Let's go back there. What's the first, you didn't see Rockford, did you?
Not Rockford, but right, my parents love to tell people about how I used to come running whenever the Magnum PI theme song started.
You're so, like, get me into a helicopter in Hawaii.
Yes.
Serving people with a mustachioed man.
There are surprisingly few Ferraris in my daytime life. But maybe that's just because I haven't made the jump to the Big Island.
Right. That's it. You gotta, and the big time. Is there a big time of private investigators?
I think that there is. Yes, those are the type who generally are the ex-CIA, ex-Blackwater.
Right. Those types. Are fancy pants. And what they're doing is they're living the life of scandal.
That's like true.
They're finding stuff and then hiding it.
I am a far cry from Olivia Pope, but I definitely love her.
Well, fair enough.
The field that we are in is civil liability. So that's when people get into car accidents. We also work for government entities, so unfortunately that's police shootings, but sometimes as simple as people like slipping and falling on the sidewalk.
Okay, and then suing the city or something?
Mm-hmm. And
okay.
Suing the city and the homeowners.
Oh, I get it. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I don't investigate murders and stuff like that.
But. Right. There should be no reason for your life to ever be in danger.
Personally don't carry a gun, you know.
Right. Just a little. You're a very tiny woman, so it'd be like, it's a tiny, tiny gun. It's just a derringer on my forearm. And
it is. My father still insists that I should be taking Krav Maga.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
But I
isn't
tell
that
him.
That Israeli fighting thing?
It is.
Wow. That's but, super,
you know,
I want you to do parkour. I always get that and bonfire mixed up, which doesn't have anything to do with each other. It's bonfire being sexy time, Spock, and parkour being jumping around through stuff. So you like Magnum PI and but there's so many, like there was Monk. Did you ever watch Monk?
Yes. I love Monk. I like, me personally, and this probably goes hand in hand with me not doing violent crimes, is I like what's essentially known as cozy mysteries. And so
who has named it that? It sounds sure. Condescending because it sounds like something I would like.
It's a little condescending, but it's.
But it's not inaccurate, I suppose.
They're not entirely. The violence and the sex crimes are played down.
Right.
So it's James not Patterson is like a different kind of a thing.
Right. Ooh.
And more like Monk or Psych.
Oh, right.
Jessica Fletcher.
Which I don't know.
From Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, Murder, She Wrote. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Those are all, even though people get murdered, it's not that there's blood and guts and gore.
Right. You just see somebody gracefully laid out.
Yes, exactly. Then, maybe poisoning. Cut. Very common.
So those are the ones that I like. And then I watched, like Bones and Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And the makeup people have gotten so good at it. I'm like, no, I don't want this. I don't need to know what that would really look like. I'm good.
I agree. It is very,
it's pretty graphic.
They're pushing the envelope.
Yeah. It's weird. So what kind of hours do you work? Is it by case or?
It is
what
all
am I, your mom?
Over the place.
No. You're making a good living. What's happening?
It is. And I love it. It is definitely not a normal scheduled job. We generally work at the leisure of our clients and we work after hours and on weekends because we're trying to get people who have jobs. So even if we're just trying to interview people who live in a neighborhood because maybe they know about a trip and fall or something, we've got to go out in the evenings. It's a lot of Saturdays, Sundays, frequently holidays.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting. So it could be like, well, we're going to have to do Thanksgiving on Friday because I'm tracking down this lady.
Sometimes it's definitely sacrifice in the name of having a job that is sometimes very cool and exciting.
Right. Give me another cool and exciting story, please. Anything fun. I don't care. It doesn't have to be cool or exciting. It just might be something that interested you, that you enjoyed.
One of the aspects of my job, one of the things I do is jury interviews, which is where I go out and talk to people after they've already rendered a verdict.
Okay.
And I find that very interesting because so much of my education and my training and stuff is about leading up to trial, like getting the evidence, getting the witnesses there, all sorts of stuff. But when I talk to the jury, I find out what really happened when the rubber met the road.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting because sometimes I'll go out and talk to jurors who don't speak English.
Right.
And
you don't speak whatever they speak?
No, they don't really understand what happened during the case.
That's interesting.
There are a lot of people who pretend like they don't know the language to get out of it.
Ah.
And so there's a lot less leniency. So sometimes I go out and talk to people who don't understand. And sometimes I go out and talk to people who take things. I had one case where when I went out and talked to the jurors and it turned out that they did not like the plaintiff because of the clothing that he wore.
Oh, that is something they teach you in law school, that you're supposed to dress right.
It is. Apparently he had dressed right all the time, but the jurors happened to see him someday when he was not supposed to be in court. So he had just come in his normal street clothes to meet with his lawyers or whatever. And the jurors saw.
They saw him in his weird FUBU outfit or some damn thing. Or he was wearing Pumas.
Yeah. And it's funny because jurors are people, and so they're given instructions that they're not supposed to
care,
keep their personal experience out of it, and they're supposed to be computers, but in practice, it doesn't really work that way.
Right, right. So that is kind of fascinating. What are you interviewing them about? Describing how the trial went?
What happens is when an attorney in big dollar cases, they like to try it again. So they like to see if they want to appeal. And so one of the issues that you can appeal a case for is if there's juror misconduct.
Right.
And so they send me out because they hope that I'm going to find a person that's like 12 angry jurors. The person who said, I have different facts than were presented in court and then convinced all the jurors of that. I've done a handful of those investigations, and it's not usually like that.
No. Is it just people going, well, it's pretty boring? And
most of the time, it's people who don't really care much about a property dispute or the percentage of the slope of the grade or...
Yeah. There's 6 inches of my property that you're using, and it's feature creep. You're going to be sitting at my kitchen table if I let you have that 6 inches.
Yeah. And it's mostly about, you know, who comes across as a baker jerk sometimes.
Oh, right.
And, the jury picks up on that. But a lot of them, most of them do take it seriously.
Okay.
It's always the outliers that you remember, you know, and that you tell stories
about.
Well,
of course. Yeah, because it's interesting, because if the person doesn't understand English and they speak, if they speak Thai or they speak Spanish or some other language, and then they've sat through, how long do most cases last? Any idea?
A couple of weeks.
Oh, they can last a couple
of weeks? On average, I would say a couple of weeks.
I have some bitterness. I have gone for jury duty every year, and they have never even picked me for jury selection. I've never even made it into the next room. I'm never going to be in the room where it happens. It's not going to happen. Hamilton, meet you at dawn. But I want to be on a jury, even though I'm pretty sure it's going to be boring.
I agree. Me too. I also have never been picked.
You've
it's
never
the same
been picked?
Thing.
It's
and then they pick people who apparently don't know English. I don't know what happens.
Well, that's funny that people would pretend to not know English. It's
very funny to me that people, I understand why, because most jobs don't pay for it and it is kind of boring,
yeah.
But I'm a civic minded person and
right.
I think that it would be something good.
I'm a giant political nerd. So I would just, I want to do the weird legal thing and, you know, just to have done it, you know?
I think so. Especially having done investigations, but never having been in the room.
Right.
To see the room where it happens.
Exactly. So, so there's you're interviewing people about what they thought of the plaintiff or what they thought of the lawyers, what they thought of the...
We cast a broad net, but what we're trying to find is somebody who will say, you know what, I heard all about this case on the news, and so I knew before it even started how I was going to vote.
Oh, right.
That's what the hope is.
That's the dream is.
Yeah, that's the dream.
Because then you can retry, right, or something?
Then they can make an appeal. And
has
say
that ever happened?
Not so far.
Not so far?
Not so far.
How many people? How many people have you interviewed?
I've done about 8 or 10 of those investigations, so I'm probably up to 50 jurors.
Okay. All right. So you've talked to 50 people, none of whom were like, this is a travesty of justice has occurred. Is everyone that you've talked to been like, yeah, it seemed right?
No, there are definitely some jurors where we go in and it's not unanimous. So yeah. In civil cases, you only need to have...
Well, it doesn't have to be unanimous.
Exactly. And so there are usually a few jurors who say that a travesty has occurred and they're willing to, you know, say all sorts of different things. But the bar to get a new trial is pretty high. It has to be something pretty bad. And
real.
Exactly. And so fortunately or unfortunately for the process, I have not found too many things that are that bad.
Right. That is.
Rise to the level of misconduct where they want to do the whole case over again.
Fair enough. Well, cool. It's so you're interviewing jurors, you're interviewing people about, so more sneakery, please. I would like another sneaky tale if you got one. Is there any lurking? How about just lurking? You ever follow people at the mall? Why wouldn't you? I appreciate this. You seem to have said that you don't serve people at work.
We try not to.
Because it really interferes with their work life. I mean, it's a black eye kind of on it'll go on your permanent record.
It does. We usually wait until all bets are off. So one of the things we like to do is... Most serves, 90% of them, are successful the first time.
Okay.
You go and knock on the door, you're at the business or whatever, and you just do the serve.
Okay.
And the rest of them, we usually try to give them a chance.
Yeah.
And then...
Go to their house or apartment.
Yeah. And then people will say something like, oh, you know, I'll leave a card, and then they'll pretend that they're going to be there, and they won't, or they'll play around, and different phone calls and stuff.
Right.
And then I've had people... One of the early serves I did, I knocked on the door and a gentleman answered and I said I was looking for Agnes.
Right.
And he was like, oh, nobody here by that name. And I said, well, are you sure you're not Agnes? I mean, I was looking for, you know, a man with sort of a strange name who matched your description. And he was like, no, no, no. And I said, well, you're wearing a necklace with the letter A on it right now.
Yeah.
And he was like, my name is...
Wow. Have that lie prepped, people. Have that locked and loaded.
Fortunately, I think one of, you know.
Did you talk him into admitting that he was the dude?
He just said, yeah, okay.
Fine, just give him the piece of paper.
He couldn't come up with anything.
Fair. Adam, Abner, Alex.
Anthony,
anything. And nothing. You got nothing, buddy? Okay, you don't deserve.
It was very funny. I was like, I know it's probably hard for you to admit that you've got this weird name.
Right, boy named Sue. I get it. There's trouble. So, so let's see. I don't know. Do you do insurance surveillance to make sure people are hurt?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you're like, heavy lifting. What are you doing?
It's amazing how many people use their time off to tackle that roofing project they've been waiting for.
Wow.
And just people who, unfortunately, it's common in construction industry that they'll be off for injury for one job and they'll just go work at another job site.
Oh, okay. Double dip.
So, yeah, we get there in the morning and we follow them and get video of them working all day somewhere else.
Right.
Other times it's funny. We had a person who was sort of an extreme sports guy. And so we got a lot of video of him, riding up and down the hills in the Angeles National Forest.
Oh, dude, you're like, I get it. You have carpal tunnel, but why are you on your BMX bike?
A woman who, had trouble walking, but she could do the Culver City Stairs.
Oh, those are like a half a mile into the sky or something,
yes.
Right? I mean, they're ridiculous. I have a friend of mine used to live right by there and he'd go, one day I want to go up those stairs. And I was like, why? Why would you want to do that and want to drive around? And, cause then you're just going to have to come back down. And that would be my greatest fear is that I would fall down and kill myself because it's got to be what, 400 feet in the air, 500 feet?
I think so. It's very steep.
Enormously steep.
Yeah.
It's like a ladder, but it's not a ladder, which would have been easier to climb. So,
but the view is great.
The view is very beautiful. There you go. So are you working all over like Orange County and LA County and just kind of moving around?
Yeah, that's a great thing. And that's one of the fun things about working in Los Angeles is that I've had the opportunity. I followed someone to the ballet.
Oh, did you get to go to the ballet?
I did. Yes. Her spouse, she was in town. Her spouse thought that she might be meeting someone there and she was.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
You know, I got to see the ballet and that was lovely. I had never been.
Yes. And Cheater Magoos, just talk to your spouse. Okay. If it's not going well, just say. Yeah.
I concur.
Yes, why not? Why?
That stuff is always tough. Thankfully, we don't do too many of those.
It's always tough. Incredibly depressing. Does it get kind of sad?
It does whenever it's a family situation. Yeah. When it's the insurance thing, I'm able to convince myself, you know, we're catching a cheater.
Right.
And this is somebody who has, you know, let things get away from themselves and they're trying to rip someone off.
Right.
But the family stuff, oof.
Yeah.
Their lives, especially if there's kids involved.
Right. You're like, everybody's just trying to make an extra like $150 a month or a week or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, I am sympathetic, but I cannot be supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. What's tough is that the people who come to us always already know.
Oh, they know that they're busted?
They already know that their spouse is cheating.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And so they just need proof. I don't know if sometimes they've confronted the spouse and the spouse denies it. And so they need the proof. And most of the times they don't end up breaking up.
Right.
For whatever reason. That's their relationship and their problem.
That's fine. If you can work through it, just think of Hamilton. Anyway,
they were going through the unimaginable.
Exactly. And I have a couple of friends who have actually worked through some infidelity that you're like, I don't know. I mean, I guess you just have a lot of conversations. I would rather, I mean, granted, I think I hate confrontation as much as the next person, but I think I would rather have the one conversation before, which is, hey, I'm looking at dudes. is that something that's frowned upon?
I wish I could tell them to spend money on, you know, relationship counseling instead of us.
Prior. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be, I have not been in that situation, and let me knock on some plywood.
What's funny is people always tell me when they find out what I do, they joke about my husband. They say, oh, how did your husband feel about being married to a PI?
Oh, Jesus. Tell me a joke. No. So do you, like, are you sneaking through his stuff? And
not at all.
Oh my God. It's your job.
I know.
I have friends who are massage therapists and their husbands cannot get them to massage them. So is it like that? Or you're like, I don't want to look at your shit.
I don't want to look at his shit. If I've learned anything, he's, you know, these people are going to do what they're going to do. And
right.
Trying to tighten is something that is not good for.
I had a t-shirt like that in college. If you love something, let it go. If it comes back, hunt it down and kill it. Or something like that. It was something like that.
The other thing is, I could tell from like a mile away. It's not like I'd need to.
Right. Really, you could already. Right, you don't have to sneak. You've got a radar. now you can see what it looks like.
Yeah, for him, it mostly manifests. He tells me, I'll ask 4 or 5 or 6 questions at a time.
Oh, gee.
And he goes, okay, stop PIing me. We need to go one question at a time.
One question. Right. I'm not in a press conference. If you could stop throwing questions. What does he do?
He works at an animal shelter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so he takes care of those sick little cats.
And sadly, his almost the saddest job ever, too. I had a guest on the Dork Forest who was I think her parents were veterinarians, and she said that she never wanted to be a veterinarian because 93% of it is euthanasia.
Oh.
And she was like, all she would see is them coming home going, yeah, I had to put down like 3 cats and a dog today. Oh, and so I don't know. I don't know how he does it.
Oh, brief shout out to Seal Beach Animal Care because they're a no-kill animal shelter.
Oh, there you go. What do? They just kind of sit on them until somebody either adopts them or they pass away of natural causes.
They're fortunate that they're able to do that. They do also a foster program, but they're able to move. In fact, I know that Los Angeles is trying to move more towards no kill, and Orange County is a lot no kill. I think that they have sort of a shelter of last resort down at the very south Orange County.
I think rangers know that I love animals, but I have this to say. There's a guy, as you drive out of my neighborhood, and you drive by my 7-Eleven, you might see that guy Mel, who lives in front of the 7-Eleven. I think he's a little skittish, but I think he could be rescued. If you want to adopt him, he'd be great. He'd love $70 a month or a week or whatever somebody's paying for their cat. We have a lot of feral cats in our neighborhood. We also have a feral bunny. Not feral bunny, but it clearly used to be somebody's bunny. And it is now a bunny. Who lives underneath the bush over there a lot. And it's just around. And it stretches out like a cat, kind of. Like, they lays with its belly on the ground. Mm-hmm. And just, it's a very tall, long, brownish, golden bunny.
That's adorable.
It is adorable.
It's funny. There's some areas in LA that have peacocks, like feral peacocks?
Feral peacocks. We have the parrots. We have the parrots, which are two, that are two things. They come from the, there's a Budweiser factory right by my house, about three or four miles. There used to be, back in the 70s, something called, it was a Busch Gardens. It was some sort of beer garden at the Bud Light factory.
Okay.
And they had parrots. And when they closed it, they let the parrots go because it was the 70s. Yeah. And I understand the same thing happened in at there, but this is like 50 years ago because they have a lot more parrots in Pasadena.
Oh.
Where they had, there was supposedly like people had pet parrots a lot in the 50s. And then they would get bored and let them go. And they now live. There are thousands of parrots.
Ugh.
And they're just little, they're not like giant cockatiels and stuff. They're not super expensive parrots.
No.
They're small, kind of, I think like 20-year parrots.
Okay, but still.
That's a long time for a pet.
That's a long time for a
pet. We have an iguana. He's 20.
That's a commitment.
21.
Yeah, turtles.
Yeah, turtle. Yes. So, okay. We have weeded way off private investigating, which is a classic moment at the Dork Forest. Well, let's talk about like what you liked it, because you read about it plenty now too, right?
Yes, I do. I read and watch mostly mysteries. If there's no body at the beginning, like, I don't know why they, like, what is the story?
Right. So you like Psych and Monk and, what ones are now? Are there new
what
ones?
What is now? Well, relatively new. I've been watching a show that's called Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries.
What's that?
And she is that? An Australian private investigator. It started as a book series.
Okay.
And now is a TV show that's available on Netflix that's had three or four series, I think is what they call them.
Yeah, they call them seasons because it's Australian.
Yes.
Well, that's neat.
And she is just a wealthy woman, an aristocrat, I think is what they say.
Yeah.
And she had tragedy in her life. Her sister was murdered when they were both young.
Ah.
And so the show opens up with...
So she doesn't turn into Batman.
It's her version of Batman.
It's her version of Batman.
Yeah. And so when the show opens up, the killer is already in prison and she is off like solving other murder mysteries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she, it takes place in the 20s, but she's very strongly feminist.
And... Right. And it doesn't have to be this sad sack, like looking for the guy with the one arm.
Exactly.
She's already found the dude, or they've already got the killer.
Mm-hmm. He insists he's innocent, but he's in jail and she believes he's it.
All right. And so how many seasons have you watched all three?
I've watched the first two.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, okay. I have one left.
All right.
And so I'm very much enjoying it. One of my favorite things in the first episode, her aunt is saying to her, like, what gives you the right to do this? And she said, oh, well, I have a gun. And she runs off with her gun.
Oh, the effect of American television on the Australians. We're sorry. Because she could have said any number of things. But, this gun.
But it's nice. I definitely... love female private investigators. They're always very strong characters. They're always, you know, they're generally sexually liberated as well. They're not tied down.
Right. So there's usually some bow chicka bow bow. Always nice.
Yes. And it's not that they've got to go home and make dinner. Nobody's making dinner for them either.
Right. Did you ever watch that? There was one, it's British and the guy lived in a windmill. Did you ever watch that?
Does
that sound like
familiar.
Something you would have remembered? Because he lives in a windmill and he's slightly on the spectrum. And then
he solves mysteries.
And then his partner is this woman who is a like tabloid lady.
Okay.
So I can't remember what it's called.
No,
but if you Google the words investigator who lives in a windmill, you will find three seasons of this gentleman and that lady, which the first two seasons I stopped watching after two because it got kind of dumb. I think they started hooking up. And then it jumped the shark.
Downhill. Yeah.
Yeah. Moonlighting.
Yeah. Like Castle.
So, yeah. Like Castle. That'll happen. So what else? Miss Fisher, do you watch Castle and you watch Bones?
I do watch Castle. I love Castle. I love Nathan Fillion.
Sure.
And it was a personal point of contention for me when he just decided one day to be a private investigator and opened his shop.
Oh, right.
As it happens in fictional thing, but it's like, you know, I worked hard and I had to go through a process and apply and take a test and go through a background check.
You're some novelist.
Yeah.
Some novelist who's decided to become a private investigator.
And that's obviously the point of the show. But
right. And I have to tell you that I stopped watching the show right after they got married. Because I was like, so he, what happens? Do they get divorced and he has to become a private investigator so he can still be nosy?
I believe that he could no longer work at the force.
Okay.
He couldn't like go work on cases. So he just became a private investigator instead. And that's pretty much when I
checked out.
We parted ways.
Always happy. Glad. I hope the residual checks never end.
Yeah.
Hope it all works out, Nathan. And I liked her a lot.
Yeah. Beckett.
Thank you. Mm-hmm, Beckett, mm-hmm. Who has a real name as an actress. I don't know what it is.
Oh, it's hard to pronounce it, I think.
Kate Beckett.
Stana Katic.
Is it Russian?
I think that it's Ukrainian, maybe. Okay. Something of that nature.
Right. Eastern Blonky. Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah.
So I loved her. Her detectiveness.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
And
badass.
And mm-hmm. such a great actress. And they wrote really funny stuff for her to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it. You know, it wasn't... It was, you know, she got to be snarky and smart and funny, and it wasn't, they didn't pander to it, you know, it wasn't, I don't know
exactly.
What I expected.
She was very much his match for him being the funny playboy. She was...
Right, she was smarter than him and tougher than him, and mm-hmm. then, you know, just, and then got as quippy as him, so it was fine, and that'll do. So, yeah, because sometimes they dumb it down. Sometimes the woman is just arm candy.
Exactly.
No less now.
The mall.
Yes.
So I read a bunch of different private investigators. The most well-known probably, well, one of them is Sue Grafton. She writes the Kinsey Millhone mysteries.
Sure.
The A is for Alibi, the alphabet series.
Right. I think I've read through R.
They're very good.
They're very good.
She's up to X.
Oh, is she at X?
Mm-hmm.
I always wonder about that, whether she's just like, what have I become?
The stories have definitely evolved. After R, I believe she did some point of view from other characters.
Okay.
And things that were third person, because I think 26 is a lot of books to write from the point of view of one character.
Right. She's just like, and then I went to work again.
Yeah. And also like Harry Potter, they got a little bit bigger and bigger.
Right, because people stopped editing. That's my theory, is there's like, this is very successful. Every word is probably a genius word. You're like, nope. Nope. Gonna need someone to go through this a little bit. She's on X? What's X for?
X is just X. Actually, she broke from the pattern.
Oh, does it mark the spot, maybe? What was W?
W is for wasted.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe she just didn't want to try. And X does so. Mark the spot, so it would be an okay one.
Yeah. She said a while ago that she had Z plotted and she just needed the
get to it. Oh, poor thing. I'm sure she's fine.
I am sure she's fine, too. I mean, it's very successful. And Kinsey is a great character. She doesn't, you know, have a love in her life. She's got a couple of different guys that she's been with, but she's not really too
concerned.
Oh, right.
She's fuck buddy, right? She does sort of like, she sleeps around, but with sort of a regular dude for the first five or six books, right? Mm-hmm. And those first five or six books are actually really good.
Yeah. And they are fairly quick reads because they're very tight mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
And they are action.
Yeah. They're action packed, and she's got this weird black dress that you're like, I don't have that weird black dress. Yeah.
There are a lot of other characters that are sort of similar. There's a character named Carlotta Carlisle. She is a Boston private investigator written by Linda Barnes.
Okay.
And so she is also a, you know, a former cop, take no prisoners, investigating murders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, butt kicking.
Does it get vigilante-y with the ones you like, or is it usually stop at murdering the bad guy?
Not vigilante. Hopefully it ends with the bad guy getting arrested.
That's what, that's
sometimes
what I'm looking for.
In self-defense, they have to kill the bad guy.
Sure. Extenuating circumstances. Yeah. I love, but where's the line?
It's not
drugs.
The Punisher.
Because I've never enjoyed The Punisher. Because I'm always like, I want the hero to be a better person than I would be. You know, because if I had these kind of powers, or if I was this kind of person, I have a suspicion that I would be judge, jury, and executioner. And it would not be good. It would not be good. So I would like, when I read this stuff, I want them to just be, they capture the person, they collect the evidence, they present the thing.
I much prefer that as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, as opposed to a big shootout where...
Where then everybody dies. And then it's, I mean, even in a Western, I'm just like, I don't know. Because those old Westerns, they would just kill everybody, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Let God sort it out, right?
Yeah. Like what?
Shoot them all and let God sort it out.
Oh, let God. Exactly. Exactly. So Carlotta Carlisle, Sue Grafton, there's got to be a bunch of them, right?
Yes, one of the even less murdery books is the number one ladies detective agency. And that is written by Alexander McCall Smith. And it takes place in Botswana.
Oh, wow.
And
maybe I've just heard of it.
It was a TV show, I think, on Showtime.
Okay.
For a season. And that is much more character driven. So it's about the people in Botswana and...
the books are really character driven?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's about the detective, Ms. Ramotswe, I think is how it's pronounced.
And
Precious.
Is she from Botswana?
Yes.
So she's not like some British lady who's come in with colonial ideas to solve crime?
Correct.
Excellent. Good for somebody. Congratulations.
It is written by a white guy, but...
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Well, but that is slightly troublesome, but I see what you're doing. I mean, it's a step in a direction.
It is. I'm sort of on the fence about it, but I
but
like
it is
stories.
Entertaining, so you read them.
And it's not murder. One of her stories that I remember is somebody came to her because there was a doctor in the village, and sometimes he was really good and sometimes he was really bad, and they were trying to figure out why, and she investigated, and it turned out that he had a twin. And so he and the twin were switching off because one was not a doctor.
Oh, my God. And that guy didn't have a job?
Yeah. And so they were switching off. I think the other one was maybe working at some other doctor's office far away. And so they were, like, able to get the two incomes because you only needed a good doctor half the time. So.
Right. Oh, my God.
So that was sort of the level of the mystery that she is solving.
Oh, that's interesting. They're more sort of like Sherlock Holmes locked room kind of things.
Yes.
That's Encyclopedia Brown.
Yeah.
Right. Notice the differences. So, oh, that's cool. I accidentally read this horrible, and I should not say that because maybe that's one that you read. It's The Cookie Lady.
I haven't read The Cookie Lady.
She writes, okay, it's... There, she's from northern Minnesota.
Okay.
There's a bunch of them. There's recipes peppered throughout it, and she's a baker.
Okay, I think I maybe...
Cupcake detective lady.
Oh,
do you know what that is?
I think I've maybe tried that one, yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot of mysteries out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't get to all of them.
So have you tried... Do you remember the name of the one with the cupcake mystery lady?
I think that it might just... I have the cupcake...
She has a bakery.
Yeah, I think there's a picture of a cupcake that I can see clearly of the cover of the book.
Yeah, so, and she's constantly baking, and then every, like, chapter opens up with a new recipe for cookies or cupcakes or cake or something.
Yeah.
And I read one of them, and I was so furious at the end of it because the bakery and the baked goods came into it never.
Oh, no.
Never. I was like, you don't introduce a baked good into a... And that's what Chekhov said. You don't introduce a baked good into the plot and then never use it.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I think he said that about a gun.
Oh, but yeah.
So number one ladies detective agency actually sounds pretty good. My mother-in-law just gave me two Bones books.
Oh, yeah.
Like Catherine Wright or something.
They're very, well, they're not very technical, but she's a forensic anthropologist, I think is what it is. So, yes, it's very science-y.
So it gets a little science-y.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun, though.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think it's real? Because sometimes you can't count on the information that comes out of Pulp Fiction. No offense.
That's true. I think magical realism, like close to speculative fiction.
It becomes like Spencer for Hire novels.
Yeah.
You know, I would read those and I'd be like, I don't know if that's something. Like, you're MacGyvering this and I don't know if that's... Yeah. If PIs can really do that, or...
Like all things, every time I watch Psych, I think to myself, I'm like, wow, is there really a murder a week like this in Santa Barbara?
if you lived in Santa Barbara, you'd want to kill somebody every week. No, come on. And
That's why Jessica Fletcher and Monk always have to travel around all over the place.
Exactly, because they have to follow the murders.
That's true.
They have to follow the murders. And what else you got?
Recently, Jessica Jones... is available on Netflix.
Right.
And she is a private investigator. I'm very excited for
with
the next...
With superpowers.
Yes. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing at all.
In the very first episode, she affects a service of process, and it is a superpower I much wish I had. Because she doesn't really use... She doesn't hurt anybody.
Right. she makes sure that you get it.
Yeah,
paperwork.
She gets it done.
Right. Jessica. Okay, so Jessica Jones, does she have an office? A PI office?
She does... Oh, and her firm is Angel... Oh, gosh. Now I'm embarrassed.
Oh, no.
I think maybe Angel Investigations in the...
That sounds
in
right.
...the show. I don't know if you watched it at all on Netflix.
No, well, I haven't gotten to it because we're not done with the first season of Deadville. Daredevil. So
they do smash the typical PI tropes because she has a glass door at her office that somebody goes through.
Oh, good. Good. And it's got her name etched on it.
Yes,
the
exactly.
The frosted glass.
So I believe it reappears several times throughout the show. It's definitely one of the tropes that they're
right.
exploring.
Like, I read those Raymond Chandler and Dashiell Hammett books
yes.
back in the day. And they were great. And the movies were good. And which is why I got Roger Rabbit as much as I did.
Exactly. Roger Rabbit. Hey.
That was a life changer.
Great private detectives.
They were great private detectives. The brothers, they'd go into Toontown. They'd solve things.
Yeah, he solved the whole thing.
Yeah. And then later, he solved the whole thing about the bank robbery and then yeah.
and the red cars. I mean, it was a big conspiracy.
It was a big conspiracy. And I think it was based on fact. That one was actually, there used to be red cars and there used to be a train that went everywhere all over. And then they, because of the oil conglomerates, they got rid of and put up highways.
Yeah.
And
freeways instead.
A lot of people don't know this. Roger Rabbit documentary, guys.
And, based on a true story.
Exactly. Could you have done that at any time? No. Only when it was funny. That's my favorite line in Roger Rabbit. So, so you probably, yeah, what else? You got anything other?
Veronica Mars.
Oh, Veronica Mars.
Veronica
that
Mars.
That one's done, right?
Yes. She is definitely one of the quintessential, girl detectives. She, It was a TV show that started either in the late 90s or early 2000s.
Right.
And the character, she's a teenager and her dad was the sheriff of a small town. It takes place in the fictional town of Neptune in San Diego.
Okay.
And there's been, Veronica's friend when they're, I believe in their second or third year of high school, her friend is raped and murdered.
Okay.
And when the show opens up, Veronica believes that she has also been raped because she's been drugged.
Okay.
And so because of the scandal with her friend's rape and murder, her father has been voted out of office. He's not sheriff. So he's opened up a private detective agency.
Oh.
And she works for him.
I have heard of this show.
Yeah.
And how many seasons are there?
There were three seasons.
Okay.
Two seasons where she is in high school and she solves, you know, her friend's murder and the mystery of her own rape.
Yep.
And then a season where she goes off to college.
Okay.
And there's more mysteries abound.
Sure. Once you add more people.
Yeah. And it was one of the, at first, a very successful Kickstarter because the writer, Rob Thomas, he wrote a movie.
Okay.
And so through Kickstarter, they were able to get the movie produced.
Really?
And she is, she's graduated from law school in the movie and gets pulled back into the small town.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. To solve another murder.
Like she's George Bailey.
Yeah.
Like she can't get out.
So she's great. One of my favorite parts of that is in the very first episode, she's going out to do some surveillance, probably a cheating spouse. And
sure.
Her dad says, you know, oh, don't forget to take backup.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, of course, dad. So she's in the car and somebody comes and knocks on the window and backup is a 100-pound American pit bull terrier.
Oh, that's hilarious. I'm glad it isn't a gun now. No. Instead, it's a giant scary dog.
Yeah.
It's probably a sweetheart.
And, to her, yeah. So she brings backup wherever she goes.
they've named the dog Backup?
Yes.
That's great. That's a great name for a dog.
Yeah. I think that it's a very well-written show. The dialogue with her and her dad is really great. And her mom has taken off, is not part of the show. So the dynamic between the two of them is really nice,
to
see.
Yeah, yeah. A little father-daughter moment.
Yeah. You know, and she works at the private detective agency, so.
Right. Well, like Nancy Drew.
Yeah.
And Nancy Drew worked with her dad. And her dad, the weird thing about Nancy Drew is that her dad always just came in and saved them. So it wasn't as.
That was a different time.
It was a different time.
A when different kind of girl detective.
Very different. In pumps. I only read Nancy Drew recently because I couldn't read them when I was a kid because I was like, you can't solve crime in pumps. So I would read all Hardy Boys. So I was like, they have sensible shoes.
And so I agree. I don't wear heels. I don't think any of the women in my firm wear heels.
No, I can't imagine. Yeah, what's the demographic? Is it how many people work at the firm that are on the streets?
At my firm, there are five of us field investigators, and
okay.
we do have a researcher in the office.
Oh, sweet, sweet researcher.
Yes. She is the one we call when we're out at a house and we need to run a plate, or it turns out that the neighbor says.
I want to have a person I can run a plate. Like, who parked in my parking spot in front of my house? Who is that? Yeah. It's a very nice Audi.
We'll talk
Move
after
it.
The show. one of the favorite things that I have that we have now, well, as a private investigator, I love it. It's called vehicle sightings.
Okay.
And so what you see now is tow trucks and other vehicles, they have cameras mounted on them. And they, as they just drive around, they're taking video of all the different license plates that are around you. And it's a database that anybody can buy.
Oh my God.
So law enforcement uses it and we use it for all the things we do. We have to have a permissible purpose that has to be all above board, but we can run somebody's license plate if we're looking for them and see all the places that they've been parked.
That's insane.
As a citizen,
it's a little shaky. As a little citizen, it's a little, what is happening?
Okay. You can see them. I haven't seen them personally, but I've seen pictures of just regular sedans that have cameras mounted all over them because it's a job.
It's a job. And then, because the job is from tow truck companies, they have the permission to drive around. And
because they're looking for cars to repossess.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And you scan the license plates and you get a hit.
You used to just go look at them.
Right.
Like people. I was talking with somebody on Twitter yesterday, and because they're loosening the laws for drone killings, which of course are already an error.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, nobody has a real alternative to how we're supposed to deal with these people. And I was like, yeah, there used to be an alternative. You'd send a dude to find him, and then that person would horribly kill them face to face.
And hopefully just the one of them.
And just one of them, not the entire room full of people.
Even though that did happen.
Right. That always happens. That happens as often as I met one of those drone operator guys.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was in Vegas. I was doing comedy and he was a soldier and he was like, yeah, I'm a drone operator. My drone works in, Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Pakistan? I don't think that's okay. And he was like, never mind. And then I said, so you might have to kill somebody remotely. And he goes, yeah, I'm sorry. I've told you. Because it's really, and he was like, it's really depressing. And it's really, I mean, it hurts his, you join the service because you want to be of service. You don't want to be a tool of some dirtbag who just makes a decision far away, which you are when you're a soldier on the field.
Right.
But it is one-on-one. So this license plate thing makes me uncomfortable is what I guess I'm saying.
I understand where he's coming from. When you get into law enforcement, a private investigation, all these things, you definitely, well, I came to it, like, I'm going to right some wrongs and I'm going to catch people who are cheating and try to make it better.
Right. You want to be of service and you want to help.
That's how I think of it. You know, there are people that are out there that are scamming and it is always going to happen, but we can try.
You can stem the flow a little bit and it can't hurt.
Yeah.
To stem the flow a little bit. That's why you're there. So what about Charlie's Angels? You ever watch that?
I love Charlie's Angels. It makes me want to learn Krav Maga. If I could maybe do some martial arts.
Or just the posing.
I got the posing down. Don't worry, man.
Yeah. Do you have any, you have any sort of self-defense skills? No offense. I'm not trying to set you up here.
Oh, God. No, I do. I mostly try to stay out of trouble.
Oh,
self-defense
excellent.
Begins with awareness. So one of the things that they trained me when I first started at the firm is that when I'm driving to a neighborhood, if I ever feel uncomfortable, just keep going. Like, don't even stop.
Don't even bother.
There was one time only a couple times. And the first time I did it, my boss was sort of teasing me. He was like, okay, all right. If you didn't want to go to this neighborhood in Compton, then we'll send we have subcontractors who are former police and who are armed.
Okay.
And so he said, we'll send one of the guys.
Like, yeah.
Okay. So we sent our guy, Mike, and Mike came back and was like, yeah, I'm not going there by myself.
Well, there you go. So even Mike knows.
And so after that, my boss didn't make fun of me. He was like, okay, so Mike went with a second guy.
Right. It would have been nice the thing is if you would have went with Mike, it would have softened Mike's image.
Maybe.
It would have toughened up your image.
That's true.
So if maybe they buddy you guys up in sort of a good cop, bad cop way, maybe that would have been the way to go. My first job when I first moved to Los Angeles, I was a secret shopper.
Oh, yeah?
The worst job ever. It paid $2.50 a store.
Oh.
It was
cool.
Really... It's a scam. It's a scam to employ undereducated people, they provided you a car. And I was given a route to go to like Food for Less and Ralph's and Vons. These are all grocery stores. And if you don't live in the LA area. Oh. And the, the, uh, but the, The first, I got the map and I gave it to my roommate who got me the job, and she looked at it and she said, not this map. Not that you've been in Los Angeles for 10 minutes. You're not going down. It was down to Compton and it was over in, and she said, and you're going to get down there at night.
Oh.
And you're going to be weird white lady at night.
Oh,
and
no.
So I was like, okay. And she said, you're going to go in the valley. I'm going to have her put you in the valley and in the mountains.
That's a good idea.
You know, next month you can go and you can route it correctly. And then, you know, because I don't have a problem. I mean, my father is completely out of his mind about Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He's worried that he's going to get carjacked. Well, he's 79. He drives a 1999 town car. Nobody wants that car, Dad. And, though they might want to ride. And my dad's like, so I always leave a big space in between me and the next car in front of me so mm-hmm. that if somebody stops to carjack me, I can whip around the car. And I was like, you're 79, Dad. You're driving slower. And you've always been a kind of a shitty driver. I'm so sorry. Oh. But, yeah. So
it's
I was
the
like,
right mindset, though.
Is there a lot of... It's a little too defensive. I was like, are there a lot of carjackings in Milwaukee? He said, we're the number one carjacking. Like, he said it proudly. And I was like, I'm going to need a source on that because I don't believe you. And I don't believe Milwaukee is the number one carjacking city in the country. But maybe I'm wrong. Who knows?
It's probably good for him with what you said that he leaves that much space.
Do whatever you need to do, I guess. What about She-Hulk? This is my current question. Did you ever read it might have been Mark Waid. I forget who wrote it. It was one of the greatest runs of She-Hulk. It was about, she's a lawyer, mm-hmm. and she is She-Hulk. And her job at this law firm is to defend supervillains.
Okay.
And so she has, you know, there's tension already. There's tension.
That's true.
And then later, spoiler alert, she gets disbarred. And she becomes a private investigator.
Okay.
And so it's kind of a great run of She-Hulk. You should definitely look into it. Because She-Hulk the Lawyer, and I think it's from like 2005 or 6. So it's already a graphic novel.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Of course. You got anything else you want to? We're almost there. We're doing good. We got a lot of, you got any other PI tips? Movies, books,
a couple
radio
of other
shows.
Book series that I really like that are, they become sort of private investigators. I like a lot of urban fantasy. That's my mm-hmm. personal favorite. And so I read the Kim Harrison, Rachel Morgan books.
Okay.
And she is a witch
in
a world where there's just all kinds of magical beings.
Oh, okay.
And so she's essentially, she starts as sort of a bounty hunter, but it develops from there.
Sure.
She's like a magical bounty hunter and she has to bring in people who have been breaking magical laws. And the first book opens with her quitting that job and going into business for herself.
Oh, okay.
And so they do. Her best friend is a vampire.
Nice.
And they live in an old church.
Why wouldn't they? Has it been consecrated, deconsecrated?
It goes back and forth during the course of the series.
Fair enough. So Kim Harrison series, and how many books are in it?
I believe she got close to 20.
Oh my
and
God.
Now she has finished the series.
Good.
It's always very sad when a series finishes.
It is, but if it goes too long.
That's the other thing.
When people die of old age, which just happened in the Vorkosigan series of Lois McMaster-Bujold, and happened in Anne McCaffrey, they made the Dragon mm-hmm. Riders of Pern series. Mm-hmm. They kept making her write more and more books because they're like, you're printing money here.
Yeah.
And so you're like, well, it's 5 years later. Well, mm-hmm. that guy's now 82. It's 5 years later. That guy's now 87. Okay. So people eventually.
That happens in one of these, V.I. Warshawski is written by Sarah Paretsky.
Okay.
And she had to retcon the character and make her a little bit younger because it just.
Yeah, it just kept
book.
Going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
please
thankfully, some
do.
Of them, like Sue Grafton, like they're still in the 80s.
Okay.
And so it's a period piece now because she doesn't have a cell phone. She really uses a Smith Corona.
Oh, my God.
She
that
has
is
to
me.
Go down to the county recorder to look at records.
I've always wanted to write one of those like L.A. Noir kind of things. If you ever drive on PCH, mm-hmm. and you probably have, mm-hmm. over in Malibu, there's
beautiful.
It's beautiful, but there's like this weird light that reminds me of like Rockford Files and Dashiell Hammett and Raymond Chandler, where you're have you ever read any Ed Brubaker? He writes graphic novels as well, but he writes, it's all crime stuff.
I have read some Ed Brubaker. I'm familiar with him through Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Oh, okay. Because
he's written for them, too. They're all mysteries and detectives, pretty much.
Oh, interesting. So that's right, because you're a podcast listener.
Yes.
Fair enough. What are you listening to? Besides, of course, The Dork Forest. Hello. Hi, Rangers. Oh, by the way, I'm talking
I love the Jackie Sarah, and Laura show.
Oh, Sarah Yearling, by the way.
And Erling, yeah.
Erling. Quit. Why? Why would you make it a Y? Erling. Sarah Erling. And it's Sarah with an H underscore the underscore P-I. And it's Gailey Associates if you're in Orange County and you need someone to be sneaked upon. So, but Sarah, so, oh, you're, oh, the stand-up thing that I'm doing with Laura Kilmartin?
Yeah,
sure. Just 20 episodes in. You guys can get in on the ground floor if you like. If you like to binge, listen to me swear more and talk about stand-up comedy.
And I do.
Yeah. Yes, you're clearly.
I am a, not to toot my own horn too much, but I'm a woman in a male-dominated industry.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of parallels to other women in male-dominated industries.
Right. So any...
All over.
Right. So any voice
in, yeah.
in, would be awesome. Just like, oh, I'm not crazy. Thank you.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
At one of my first private investigator conferences that I went to, I'd only been working there for a few months, and my boss was there with me, and he was introducing me to another investigator that he knew, and... pretty stereotypical older retired officer wearing a Hawaiian shirt. And,
oh my God,
he literally elbowed my partner and said, "Female investigators, huh? They're the best investigators, huh?" And I was like,
holy,
standing right here.
Oh my God, out loud. You said that out loud, sir. That's an inside your head voice. Crazy Magoo, man. What a banana head. Yeah, and the thing is, guys, it isn't funny.
No.
I think the thing is most of the men who listen to The Dork Forest are, or at least who contact me, are just genuinely nice dudes who are just like, that seems a weird thing to say. And you're like, yeah, yeah, you are correct.
And you are correct.
And it really weirds people out. And then there are other guys who, I've only talked to it sort of like stand-up comic guys who are like, it's only weird if she doesn't like you. And I was like, yeah, but how is, I mean, she's going to actually dislike you if you say that and she doesn't like you. And wait until you're married to say weird sexual things, which, Andy says weird sexual things to me all the time, and I'm in favor of them, quite honestly, because now we know each other quite well.
It was in your vows.
It was in our vows. We're going to be touching each other in weird places. So let's do this. Sarah, thank you for driving all the way from freaking Orange County.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sarah Erling, it's Sarah with an H underscore the underscore the PI at Gailey Associates. And we have talked a lot about private investigators and a lot of lady private investigators. So I hope you enjoyed it, Rangers. And you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?